The federal government's new Future Drought Fund will come into effect next year, and ahead of its rollout, committee members are holding dozens of meetings in drought-ravaged communities across the country. The fund is expected eventually to be worth $5 billion, with $100 million made available each year to support Australian farmers and communities. Brent Finlay is the chair of the fund's consultative committee. He's just toured Queensland and also Western Australia. Welcome to breakfast.
Good morning, Hamish.
The people you've been talking to know their land better than anybody else. What are they telling you?
Well, very concerned about what's going on now and what they're seeing through their landscapes and also the impacts of this wretched drought that's across so much of Australia is having on their production systems, and also what it's doing to the communities that, a lot of cases they grew up in, and the communities they're very proud of.
Can you just explain how this fund is going to work? I mean, we keep being told it's a $5 billion fund. It will get eventually to that point. It starts out somewhat smaller, grows, and then there's a portion of it available each year. Could you describe for our audience this morning exactly how it'll function?
Well, as the fund sits now, there's $3.9 billion in that fund. By 2028, it grows to $5 billion. But as of the 1st of July next year, $100 million will be available annually into the future. Now, the draft plan that we're consulting on now is a four-year plan, and then after that, another four-year plan, and that into the future. So $100 million every year is an incredible opportunity for all of rural and regional Australia to actually build resilience through our communities, landscapes, and our farm production businesses.
And just to be clear, because I think sometimes this the headlines somewhat make this unclear, it's not $5 billion going to be dumped into the sector to transition. It's actually a fund that enables portions each year.
Yeah, I'd use the term the yield. Now, the yield is $100 million, set at $100 million a year that goes to projects, applications that come to that fund to build resilience.
Obviously, northern Queensland is not traditionally bushfire prone. That's where you've been taking some of your soundings recently. How concerned are communities there about the changing state of things?
Everywhere we've been, the concerns there, and hence the number of people that are coming to our public consultations, and also the industry groups, universities, departments, state departments that have been coming to the briefings that we do. We've been overwhelmed by the response that we've had, and people want to hear about the fund, but they also want to talk about what it may be spent on in the coming years.
And obviously it's focused on supporting communities and driving agricultural production. Does it also look at the environmental question and what needs to change on that front in order to support both of those things as well?
Oh, very much so, Hamish. Quite often the three key themes are around our landscapes, our environment, the communities we live in, and also the economic, our production systems, our farm businesses, and they're all interlinked, and we continually hear about that.
I want to play to you a bit of audio from the Queensland Emergency Services Minister. This is what he had to say earlier this week.
We seem to have this unprecedented word all the time, which I know some people are getting tired of, but the reality of it is we keep breaking records, and there's no doubt about it that climate change is what's driving it. And the other day I described it as the new norm, and someone pulled me aside and they said, it's not the new norm, it's the beginning of something that's going to get bigger and probably more frequent, and potentially they're right.
Is that your view?
Oh, it's what we're hearing. It's concerning, really concerning. And I'm on the public record talking about climate change. As farmers, and I'm a farmer, we have to deal with this. We deal with it every day. Climate change, climate variability, we look at our production systems. We readjust them. We look at the landscapes that we farm in. And now we're seeing with number of towns across Australia running out of water, just how impacted our communities and even our larger communities can be.
So, is this Future Drought Fund actually just about dealing with drought, or is it about adapting to a new reality?
Well, it's all part of it. It's trying to make us more resilient across rural and regional Australia. And so, therefore, we have to look at all of that. Resilience comes in a lot of different forms, and that's what we've been hearing, and that's the feedback we've been getting on the draft plan that we're consulting on.
I mean, are you hearing amazing, incredible ideas from people about what to do with the land, or are you hearing from people saying, actually, we just don't think we can survive on this land anymore if this is what things will be like?
No, we're not hearing the latter. No, there's a concern out there, but there's also a level of optimism. And the ideas, and that's what I've been saying, is now this is a contest of ideas. And I say, now whether you're in the sheepyards or on the header or wherever you are, now thinking about future droughts, it's not about in drought support now, and it's not about in drought support in the future. It's about how we make our communities, landscapes, and businesses stronger to be able to actually handle the changing climate.
Sure. I mean, that's all very fine language, but what might that look like? Because I think this is the thing we hear all the time as we talk about drought consistently on these programs and others, people asking, what will our agricultural sector look like in the future? What will we be farming? Where will people be? Do we have to radically rethink the way we use the land?
It's interesting, having been in Geraldton in Western Australia last week, and they're talking about, they're going to very much below average rainfall there this year, but their crop yields, they're happy with their crop yields because they're learning to adjust their production systems to less rainfall. They've installed a lot of weather stations, so they're actually collecting data that gives them a lot more information about, I guess, what's happening with the weather, so that they can actually pull the levers as farmers and also as community to adjust. And that's what farmers do. We keep adjusting. We keep looking at what we need to do. We keep thinking about what we need to do.
But what will that look like on the ground? I mean, I know you don't want to overcommit yourself to how this money will be spent, but just give us a sense of how Australia might use the land differently. It's not just about data.
Data is really important because it actually informs you and informs your decisions. So and hearing about data and data collection right across Australia, that's one of the key themes that come through. And not wanting to preempt anything that the fund is going to be funding, because we still got a long way to go. We're only working on the draft plan at this stage. So the programs come early next year, and then the applications to those programs is where the funding is. That will come towards May, June next year, and then the fund actually starts, money hits the road the start of July next year. But we're hearing about people wanting to build their soil carbon. They're wanting to try to move water through their landscape and retain water in their landscape. So we're hearing everywhere we go about water and the importance of water. We're also hearing, particularly in Western Australia, the impact of ferals. Farmers, they're in a drought, but the impact of wild camels, wild donkeys, massive kangaroo populations, also the encroachment of pig populations, what that actually does to the landscape as well.
Brett and Finlay, thank you very much for your time this morning. I hope we can talk to you again.
Oh, Hamish, please do, and thank you for your support. Incredible opportunity that we have with this fund.
Brent Finlay is the chair of the fund's consultative committee.